President Biden has launched a commission to make recommendations on adding more seats to the Supreme Court. The goal, to give himself an automatic majority, one that will ensure his initiatives win every time. Hi, I'm Stuart Shepard, and this is First Liberty Live. This topic today is so important for all of us to have a good understanding of, so we want to make sure to encourage you to like and share this video, because we all need to have a grip on this and be able to explain it to other people in our lives so they also understand why this is such a threat to the democracy, to the nation that we've come to know and love. Our guest today is First Liberty's President, CEO, and Chief Counsel, Kelly Shackelford. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Stuart.
When you look at the people that the president put on the commission, what do you see?
A very politicized commission. I mean, some of the reports said 5-1 extreme liberal to moderate. Some said 3-1. But look, the whole point of court packing is to politicize the court. It's for the political body to overtake the judiciary and to say, I want to add however many seats I need to get to the political results I want to get to. When you do that, you destroy the independence of the judiciary. It's really a coup on our court, on our Supreme Court.
That's a strong word.
But it's what it is, because we have three branches of government. We have an independent judiciary, which is why we have the rule of law. Once you allow the political branch to overtake and to control the judicial branch, you lose that. And you know, look, we saw this coming somewhat, this attempt.
Yeah.
Back during the campaign, there was talk about court packing. And so we realized this is serious. So we started in January extensively researching, looking into the history, not only in the United States, but in other countries, what this means to a country. And this is really a fall into tyranny in very quick fashion if you allow this to occur. So we are going to do everything we can to try to make sure that people are educated so that the country can stop this. They've stopped it once before. There was an attempt in 1936 and 37 to do this under a very popular president. And yet the American people understood how dangerous this was. And even FDR's own party, the Democratic Party, turned on him and said, this is tyranny. We've got to educate people, because it's been almost 100 years now.
Yeah.
And people don't know. They don't understand. They don't know that things like Venezuela did this, and they just immediately devolved into tyranny. There have been 45,000 decisions since they court packed.
Yeah.
None against their president.
Which should tell you
something. It tells you a lot. Yeah. Argentina, it took only 7 or 8 minutes for their whole country to change forever. This is something that we have to stop, and the only way that that's going to happen is if people get the education, the materials, and we have done a very deep dive on this at First Liberty. We've done the research, we've got the scholars, the academics, but we've also got the talking points, the things people can say that are understandable, the polling that we've done, everything that we'll be rolling out so people can follow, and really so all of our people can be the Paul Revere's for our country, talk to their neighbors, talk intelligently to others, whether it's through social media, everything else. This is a major, major initiative. And people might say, Kelly, you're First Liberty, you're religious liberty. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Well, religious liberty doesn't do very well if there's no courts. If there are no more constitutional rights, which is what happens here, and let me explain that. If you court pack, then whatever party is in power can simply add however many justices they need to wipe out any right you think you have. There are no constitutional rights once you politicize or take over the judiciary with the political branch. It's just pure power, pure political power, and your rights are what the majority party decides to let you have. So religious freedom is gone at that point, and that's why our first priority right now is to stop this, so that we can have religious freedom and all the other freedoms we have, or I think it's something that will change America forever.
And that concept is literally why people came to the New World, because they were used to the rule of the monarchs. But here we have a constitution and we have the rule of law, which should be consistent throughout, but this would throw that right out the window.
It would. I think people know the difference between a banana republic and the United States of America, but very few people know why or think about why it's so different. I mean, in these other countries, the new person takes power by violence a lot of times. There is a tyranny, a totalitarianism, And they know that that doesn't happen in the United States, but I think we take for granted this peaceful passage of power, this idea of a judiciary and laws that we all follow, because our political branch doesn't control the judicial branch. But what's being proposed here is very dangerous. I mean, just think of the name of the commission. The Commission to Reform the United States Supreme Court. Reform? I mean, to essentially re-architecture our constitutional system.
Yeah.
This is important. If we believe in the Constitution, if we care about what America is, it's something that people really do have to stand up for.
One of the reasons I think this is difficult for most of us to get straight in our own heads is it's been nine on the court, as you mentioned, for 150 years. When Thomas Edison first fired up that light bulb, there were nine on the court. When the Wright brothers took flight at Kitty Hawk, nine on the court. It's been that way for so long that most people may assume that it's a set number, that it cannot change. So that's why this is hard to comprehend. You serve on the Supreme Court Historical Society. You're also, you've qualified to argue before the Supreme Court and have done that. So you actually know more about the court than most of us do. Tell us about that number nine. Why is it such an important number?
Well, we've had nine for 150 years. I think it's an excellent number. I think everybody pretty much has agreed upon that. There wouldn't be an effort to change that if it wasn't to essentially change the court for political reasons to get to the results you want to get to. But what I think people don't understand is the number nine is not in the Constitution. So you don't have to change the Constitution to do what they're talking about doing.
Right.
All you need is a majority vote. So it could happen, I mean, immediately, almost. The only thing stopping it right now is in the Senate, you have a filibuster where you're required normally to get 60 votes. But again, they can change that rule.
Right.
Just with a majority vote.
And have been talking about that.
There's been a lot of discussion about it. Of course, you have Senator Manchin from West Virginia and Senator Sinema from Arizona who have said they would rather not. But just weeks later, Senator Manchin's on Meet the Press talking about how, well, he's open to reforming the filibuster. So yeah. We're on the verge of something incredibly dangerous for our country. I mean, it's an existential threat. A lot of the public policy things we see talked about might be bad, and they are a lot of things we hear talked about. But nothing is on this level. This is a whole different level. This is reconstituting the United States of America. This is ending the rule of law and the judiciary system we've had that this country has been built on.
Let's talk about that for a bit, because I want to unpack it. We're talking about this so much in political terms, partisan terms even, Democrats and Republicans and all that. But that's because it's being forced into the conversation by this desire to reform the court. As someone who's kept an eye on the court and read the history of the court and has a deep understanding of that, what is supposed to be, what did the founders have in mind for this judicial branch as opposed to the legislative branch and the executive branch? How is it supposed to be different?
Well, they specifically created the court to be an independent judicial body. They didn't want us to be like other countries. They didn't want the king. You know, the king can do no wrong was a famous phrase
right. That
our country totally disagreed with. It's why there was a revolution from, you know, Great Britain. The king can do no wrong, the divine right of kings. We didn't believe in that. We thought that it was up to the people, and we knew that we had to separate the judiciary from the legislative branch. We had to separate politics from law. The idea that whatever political party is in power or whatever party has a majority determines whether you get justice or not, or whether you get freedoms or not, founders were totally against that. So we set a system, a constitutional system in place. And this is why the judiciary is a separate, independent branch. However, what is being proposed would pull the judiciary under our political branch, our legislative branch, and it would just be an adjunct to whatever president, whatever political party are in power. They would decide how many justices to add, what results they want to get, which rights they will let you have. And we are a totally different country. So this is something we have to educate people on. The good news is the polling we've already been doing shows that even independents are almost 2-1 against this. And as we educate them on what was tried in this country in 1936 and 37, as to what happened in Venezuela and other countries, as to what this means, the numbers go up and up and up. So if people knew they will be, I think, very strongly against this. But most people don't even know this is happening.
Right.
They don't know what court packing is. And so it's our responsibility. It's those watching us right now. It's their responsibility to be the Paul Revere's, to essentially take this and say, hey, look, there's something dangerous. We've got to make sure this doesn't happen, or we won't keep the United States of America as we have it.
I can imagine people on the other side of this issue saying, ah, Kelly, you're looking at these faces and seeing five or six that generally would take your view of the Constitution, and that's why you're talking about it this way. But if it were reversed, you wouldn't be saying this. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's incredibly short-sighted. The idea that you want to add justices to the court so that you can get to your political result, you're not looking at what you're doing. I mean, if that happened and you got Democrat, Republican, whatever, I mean, we're going to have 150 justices in no time, right?
Which sounds ridiculous, but they're talking about, oh, 3, 5, 10, I've heard on the news.
Yep.
But if it goes that way, well, later.
And even people who are left-wing, doesn't seem to matter. If you're thoughtful at all, you see this and you go, this is a horrible idea. Justice Ginsburg, I mean, not a conservative.
No.
She said, this is a bad idea. Really
she
bad
said,
idea.
Nine is a good number.
It is.
Yeah.
Justice Breyer, one of the liberals on the court now, just said last week, no, this is a bad idea. So anybody who understands knows you might get your immediate political, I get my philosophy in by forcing things through the court. But when you do it, you have now destroyed the court. So what's going to come after what you just did is going to be so damaging to the country. It is an immediate, really, fall into tyranny, into totalitarianism. Look no further than Venezuela. Look no further than Argentina. Other places where this happens. This is something that it could not be consistent with the United States of America. But I want people to understand this is not a theory. There are numerous people who have talked about this. Leaders, massive amounts of money are in place and are pushing for this.
Mm-hmm.
A letter just went to the President of the United States from the leaders of 150 groups demanding this.
Wow.
This is coming, and it's coming at full force, as evidenced by the President of the United States just signing an executive order establishing this commission to reform our United States Supreme Court. So this is real, and it's something that we need to really speak out about and to educate people on.
Yeah. How can regular people like me speak into this? I mean, what's the best thing we can do?
Well, we're going to have a website, number one, but we're going to have all this material so people can go as simple or as deep as they need to. But we're going to have, you know, the phrases, the sound bites, you would say,
mm-hmm. where the essential points.
Yeah, which you can help people understand what this is about. But if people want to go deeper, we'll have the links where they can go deeper. We have scholars that have been involved. We have historians. We have pulled all the information together. I think even the powerful information of what happened in 1936 and 37,
yeah.
when the Democrats had control of one of the most popular Democrat presidents of ever, FDR, they had 80 senators, Democrats, out of 100, they still couldn't get this through. Because the American people, when they realized what this was, the Democratic Party itself stood up, many of their members, and said, this is tyranny. I'm going to stand against this. And by the end, not only had they stopped this, the sponsor of this bill in the Senate died of a heart attack.
Wow.
And in the next election, they lost 8 Senate seats and 81 House seats in the elections. The American people are for freedom. And if we give them the information, they can do that. I think this is something everybody can explain to their friends and neighbors, and we'll provide all the information online as well.
The website that Kelly's referring to is supremecoup.com, and that's where you can find the essential facts that you need to know to be able to talk about this knowledgeably and share with your friends why it's such a concern for those who are concerned about freedom and the nature of our republic. And as you mentioned, there will also be links to white papers and deeper thoughts about this if you do want a more academic perspective on it so that you can talk about it from that. The other thing we're going to do is start producing regular video features separate from First Liberty Live that you're watching now to help people stay updated. Tell me about that.
Well, we're going to have, I'll be on, but we're going to have Mike Berry, Jeremy Dice. We're going to have different people talking about things as we're rolling out newer information, what's going on. Look, this is an initiative that we have committed a lot of resources to because, again, people say, you're religious liberty, why are you doing this?
Right.
Well, because you don't have religious liberty if we don't stop this. We've got to stop this or the courts are done. So this is the first priority. Let's keep our constitutional system. Let's keep our courts. Let's keep the independent judicial body, the rule of law. This is phase one. So we are going to roll these things out one after another. We have committed everything we have to this and, in fact, encourage people to get involved in this, supporting us both by spreading the word, by financially supporting this. I can't think of anything more important as a gift to your children and your grandchildren than to keep our system of government, our Constitution, the rule of law, which makes America what it is.
Very good. Kelly, thank you for all those insights. Very helpful.
Happy to do it.
Very concerning, for sure. Hey, if this troubles you as well, and if you're concerned about this topic, here's something you can do first, is you can like and share this video so that other people hear this message and understand what's confronting us right now. And then also, if you'd like to be part of our effort to speak into this dialogue, you can click on the big red give button at firstlibertylive.com. It may say donate, it may say give, depends on where you click on it on the page, but it's big and red, you can't miss it. Just make sure you go there and do that, and you'll be able to be part of this effort that you just heard us talking about. Kelly, you know who we've got on next week?
I hear we got Shannon Bream.
Shannon Bream, the Fox News host and author. Oh,
she's not only a star, she's a star as a person. There aren't many people like Shannon Bream, and I love seeing her book hitting the New York, bestsellers list. She deserves to be rewarded for how she conducts herself and what a great job she's doing for our country.
And she shared her snack with me at an airport one time, so I'm happy to get to see her again. We're going to talk to her about what it's like being a Christian in the news media and where she serves, and also about that book that you mentioned, which is called The Women of the Bible Speak. That's next week, right here on First Liberty Live.